Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Hello, Eric.
Hello. Mother, I'd like to pour you a glass of wine. Yeah, Rich was really worried about my sanity today. I mean, I assume Rich is worried about my sanity every day and my
somewhat regular basis.
And also my sort of general state of mind when I wrote to him and requested the end from the Doors.
I just pictured you as Val Kilmer.
That's, you know, both he and I used to look a lot better. So we've got that in common.
Wow. We all did.
Yeah, that's right. I loved Top Gun, and I loved Val Kilmer, actually. I thought he was great, and I thought he was actually awesome in that. But no, I used to have a record player, and I still do, which is, but I had one all through. Like, I wore flannel when it wasn't cool too. But one of the things I ended up with, it must have been one of my brothers or sister or something, was this old double record called Weird Scene. It was not Weird, it just Scenes Inside the Gold Mine. And it was basically a greatest hits of theirs. And I thought it was really, really cool. And so, yeah, I got into the Doors fairly early. And I figured that was just... It evoked what I wanted to kind of talk about today, which is we're finishing up California, then we're moving on to the Pacific Northwest and exciting stuff going on up there. But there's a couple of different things I kind of wanted to finish up with, you know. So bear with me while I kind of jump all over the earth. Well, not all over the earth, just California, right? I think that there's a common perception of California. In fact, it's my perception of California, that there is a lot of really good wine that's very expensive. And a lot of it is fairly unapproachable because we don't really know that much about the sub appellations and the nifty little spots where these wines come from. So there's those, which are very sort of lofty and they receive huge points from, you know, Robert Parker and Spectator and things like that. And then I think the other thing that we perceive about California is that it's a bunch of mass-produced, faceless wine factories. And that's also very true in a lot of ways. Just this past weekend, I had a marvelous discussion with a gentleman about the fact that, you know, Franzia and Bronco Wine Company, which are, they literally sit within a baseball's throwing distance of each other, are pumping out the majority of this absolute junk that sells for, you know, $3, $4, $5 a bottle still, which, I mean, if you kind of think about, you know, the cost of everything, that's, there's no way you're getting real quality for that. It's right. Like when you see, you know, 20 chicken nuggets for a dollar sort of thing. It's like, how much of that is chicken? And do I really even want to know?
No.
I suppose I'd prefer if it's not chicken, because any chicken that would cost that little would be chicken I wouldn't want to eat.
Pigeon.
Pigeon would be acceptable as long as I know it was raised humanely. But the other time, you know, and we started to talk about the other face of California, and I was talking about some of the other major movements last week, but I want to sort of talk about the sort of old is new again movement. So we've talked a lot in all these countries, not just America, but Europe. Post-World War II, we really, really got into how can we better use science to increase yields, to preserve the lifespan of foods and drinks, to package and repackage things in ever more convenient ways. And to do it, we had to create an agricultural system that was very industrialized, very homogenized, and rife with chemicals and things like that, right? And we've obviously come about and said, okay, that's bad. Although the majority of those wines that we were just talking about coming out of, you know, these factories are still done exactly that same way, just the same way that there's still Hungry Man dinners and all these other things that, I mean, you know, we can all, you know, it's, yeah, we laugh about it and it's fine. I mean, you know, I don't know the last time anybody had a Hungry Man dinner, but I mean, these things are, you know, loaded with all sorts of preservatives on purpose, you know? And so there's people now going back to the earth. They're doing things the hard way. And in certain cases, actually, I suppose I shouldn't say it's the hard way, just the old way, right? So one of my favorite examples, I mean, obviously, you know, there's all sorts of examples in everyday, you know, you and I sort of living, composting, right? I mean, compost is a way, and also, you know, the making of other fertilizers, not through chemical means, but through, you know, the breakdown, the natural breakdown of things. You know, things like bread making, right? We've gotten away from eating Wonder Bread. We're actually learning that if you just buy some King Arthur flour and use water and yeast and things like that, you can make your own bread. And there's no preservatives. There's no middleman coming through with it, right? Heritage varieties of foods. Like there's certain foods that are really, really tasty and, you know, don't yield as much, but they're absolutely delicious. And they've sort of fallen off the radar because of that homogeneity that I was talking about. Biodynamism, right? Treating your entire estate as a living being. And so you're trying to create biodiversity, little bugs in the soil, happy, you know, plants and happy, healthy bees and birds and plants, I'm sorry, and fauna that will fertilize and things like that, you know? And so one of the movements that I wanted to mention that's being done heavily in California, and we're going to start to get some more stuff, fortunately, now in the store that does this, the use of amphoras, the rise of orange wines. So to remind you, we had an orange wine on this segment last year, and orange wines are essentially, they're white grapes or, you know, white gray, you know, like Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, things like that, that are put in amphoras. They're left on their leaves, they're left on their skins, and they take on an orange hue, which preserves them, right? It's basically like making a white wine like you'd make a red wine. But you're also using the earth to moderate the temperature as opposed to these huge, you know, fermentation vats that are, you know, using modern means to control the temperature. It's just like stick it in the earth and walk away. And it works remarkably well. So that's an enormous movement that we're going to see a lot more of. In fact, just over the past month, I've tried several new wines that are coming into the main market that are using. And what's actually interesting is some of them are using only partially amphora, right? So they're actually blending as if they were just, again, another vessel, like tank, like barrel, things like that. It's really cool. The other movement, and I know I'm running out of time, but the wine we're drinking today is the movement to plant a lot of really, really cool varietals that really are associated with just one little tiny plot of earth in Europe, or in some cases a bigger plot, like Tempranillo from Spain. You're seeing a lot of plantings of Tempranillo. The wine we're drinking today is a really cool French wine, kind of associated with the Gamay grape, called Valdiguier. This is from J. Lore. In fact, they thought it was Gamay originally, but then some scientific testing told them it was this really obscure little French grape. You're starting to see a lot of diversity in planting because I think people are understanding, just like those heritage breeds of meats that we like, of vegetables that we like, fruits, I mean, it is a fruit, right? I mean, a grape is a fruit. So you're really seeing a return to the fact that we just don't know what's going to hit, when it's going to hit, and also how climate change is going to hit it. So I think there's a lot of concern on the part of California, Pacific Northwest, people in Europe, I know there is, of what the future is going to bring. And maybe we should bring in some of these other grapes and see how they do and see if they thrive here, because it could be an entirely new market. So I'm running out of time, so I want to mention that we have our tasting this October. It'll be on the 17th, and as I mentioned a little bit last week or weeks prior, we are nailing down some really awesome things for our 10th anniversary of buying the shop, which happened early November of 2009, November 9th to be specific. So we are doing, we have a couple of events planned, and I will give you greater details both online and on this program as I lock them down. But we are looking at wine dinners, wine tastings, wine seminars, and a bubbly tasting on the 9th at our store. That is locked in from 1 to 3 on the 9th. It's a Saturday. We'd love to see everybody there and celebrate our 10 years of owning Bangor Wine and Cheese. And toast to hopefully another 10 years. And now we will toast to this program with Valdiguier And I will see you all next week. Cheers. And
to Daniel Jones.
To Daniel Jones, the future of the Giants.
And your new website as well.
Our new website.
Yes.
BangorWineAndCheese.com?
Yes, that one.
That one, yeah. That's true.
Is it new?
Well, it's sort of new. Okay. I keep saying it's new. I'm just trying to direct people to it. Okay. BangorWineAndCheese.com. It'll give you everything you need.
There you go.
And more. And if it doesn't, just give the store a call. We'll help you out.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Mahan with us every Tuesday afternoon for Message in the Bottle.